And that's why, right? It's these concepts we're used to not only overcome this unique injury, how my business partners and I scaled our last business to over 15 million within the span of a decade. And now how I've flipped that on its head as a human behavior performance coach and somebody who just wants to help people become more aware, more intentional, and who they already are, their most authentic selves. We're talking about who they were before the world told them who to be, who they were before they forgot who they were because they chased all the what's of the world. And I believe that when we can center ourselves in the who, that's when we also get to experience joy, freedom, and fulfillment more holistically. And that's when we can start to focus on human connection and the two things that bind human connection, which are vulnerability and authenticity. And when we lean into these things and we can reduce the level of suffering on this planet, that's why we're on a mission to impact a billion lives. Because if we reduce the level of suffering, that's when joy, freedom, and fulfillment has a chance to survive. And that's when we can stand on our own two feet, not only confident, but convicted in who we are, knowing that the world's not going to just accept us, but embrace us for who we are. And I believe that with collective effort, collective energy, and collective impact, we can create that world for our kids and our grandkids.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Baubert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. I am here with Brian Bogert. Brian, how are you today, man?
Man, I'm vibrating another level today. I'm in a really good space. I'm in my rhythm right now, and I'm blessed to be here with you.
I'm so excited to have you here today. Ultimately, human behavior and performance coach, keynote speaker, business strategist, author, 40 under 40. This is just a bio. At the end of the day, Brian, I discovered you in a mentor of mine, Brad Lee's mastermind group. You came on to speak with the crew. You could hear it from the moment you started talking, the conviction in your voice, your will and want to affect a billion people. The moment I heard you, I'm like, I got to talk to this guy. I'm blessed to have this one-on-one. So I appreciate your time. Give a little intro about your mission, your values, and exactly what you do at Brian Bogert Companies.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I have to start and just center in the fact that I have to tell you a little about who I am to give you context on that.
Please.
And who I am first and foremost, I'm a husband and father first. And I say that and I always center in that because that's what allows me to anchor myself and ground myself and all the things that I know are most important. And so I have to start there because the reality of it is all the other cool stuff that we talk about. The only thing that would cause me to walk away from it is if my wife and kids are not good. So I have to say that's probably the only thing that's truly binary in my world, but that'll tell you a lot about who I am. I want to start, and I'm just going to hit it at a high level. I'm not going to tell the full story, but I think it's important for people to have a little bit of context as to like who I am and where I've gotten to where I am. And it started when I was 7 years old with a freak accident. I went to Walmart with my mom and brother to get a 1-inch paintbrush. And as we were headed back to our car, freak accident, truck came out of control backwards, hit our car, knocks me over, ran over me diagonally, tearing my spleen, leaving a tire track scar on my stomach, and continuing on to sever my left arm completely from my body, right? So we're in the scenario where, again, life happened to me, right? But it also happened for me. I just didn't quite realize that until later. And as I'm sure none of your audience was expecting, that's a super unique story. But what I've also realized is over the last 29 years that I've flipped that into helping other people, I've realized that we all have unique stories. What's important is that we pause and become aware of the lessons we can extract from those stories and then become intentional with how do we apply them in our lives. And we all have the ability to do that. We also all have the ability to tap into the collective wisdom of other people's stories to shorten our own curve to learning. So I'll share real quick two that have guided me to where we are that also frames in what we're doing right now and who we're chasing.
Please.
Okay? Reality of it is I had two primary lessons that have guided my life. The first is that I learned not to get stuck by what has happened to me, but instead get moved by what I can do with it. And what I realized is when I got moved, I was able to move other people. And that's where we started to connect the dots on this concept of moved people, move people. Okay. The second thought process that many have identified as kind of my life's purpose and mission is something that didn't come to me right away. At 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, I'm going through the surgeries, procedures, all the therapy, but I'm being guided through that process. You know, and I took for granted, frankly, how much I didn't have to be intentional because I was being guided through it. Hmm. My parents, however, were not in a fog. They weren't being guided. They were guiding. And they were unbelievably aware of the unceasing medical treatments and years of physical therapy. And, you know, I'm also very grateful because they had the foresight to recognize that the idea of seeing their son grow up without the use of his left arm would be a source of great potential suffering for them and a great source of potential suffering for me in my life. So they literally did everything they could to do all of the hard work, embrace the pains required to ultimately strengthen and heal me. And that's where this concept of embracing pain to avoid suffering came from. I believe when we do these two things beautifully and we can understand the synchronicity of these concepts, that's also where we gain freedom. And that's why, right, it's these concepts we're used to not only overcome this unique injury, how my business partners and I scaled our last business to over 15 million in the span of a decade. And now how I've flipped that on its head as a human behavior performance coach and somebody who just wants to help people become more aware, more intentional, and who they already are, their most authentic selves. We're talking about who they were before the world told them who to be, who they were before they forgot who they were because they chased all the what's of the world. And I believe that when we can center ourselves in the who, that's when we also get to experience joy, freedom, and fulfillment more holistically. And that's when we can start to focus on human connection and the two things that bind human connection, which are vulnerability and authenticity. And when we lean into these things and we can reduce the level of suffering on this planet, that's why we're on a mission to impact a billion lives. Because if we reduce the level of suffering, that's when joy, freedom, and fulfillment has a chance to survive. And that's when we can stand on our own two feet, not only confident, but convicted in who we are, knowing that the world's not going to just accept us, but embrace us for who we are. And I believe that with collective effort, collective energy, and collective impact, we can create that world for our kids and our grandkids.
How do I create that energy? How do I create that collective impact? How do I rally the troops? Like, where do I start? Well, is there any tips, any things that...
Everything begins and ends with you, bro. Everything. Right? So that's the one thing we got to pay attention to is where do I start?
Yeah.
You know, here's the reality.
There's not like a general tip, is there? I need to ask myself that.
That's right. Life's not about strategy and tactics. It's not about getting to the next place. It's about understanding and seeing yourself more clearly and allowing yourself to realize that you can move faster with less effort when you're in alignment with who you are. So here is a sort of tip, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you heard me say a minute ago, this whole idea of like who before what.
Right.
I will tell you that a lot of the thought processes that we have rooted today are developed and structured based on me losing who I was. Right. I, for so many years, had intellectual narratives, emotional narratives, different block points, different levels of armor that were up to protect myself, make myself feel safe, make myself seen and understood, make myself feel connected. Right. But what I did is I did what the world taught me to do. Chase the what house, what car, what amount of money, what amount of success, right? What amount of external validation, what amount of support, what amount of friendship and connection, like legitimately the what's, all the what's, but all the what's were a little bit empty. Right. No, by the way, I got all the what's by the time I was 27. Every what I'd ever sought to accomplish, I had by the time I was 27. I don't say that to brag. I don't say that to impress. I say it to impress upon the point. I chased the what's. I was laser focused on the what's and I got the what's. You know what I lost though?
Who was Brian at 27?
Not who I am now. Not who I was before. I was who the world told me to be. So who I was at 27 was a man who knew that I had loneliness, isolation, that I knew that I hadn't been seen or connected for a long time. I knew I wasn't in alignment with myself. I was experiencing massive amounts of anxiety, stress, depression, right? Because I wake up and I realize one day that I'm running in circles with people making multiple six figures, seven figures, eight figures. And all of us, almost all of us, including myself, had lost who we were, right? And when I realized that, that's when I went on the path of trying to get back and reclaim who I was. And over the course of those last periods of time, the last decade, what has become very clear to me is when we can shed the layers of the world and get back to who we are authentically. We can become that bright, burning, shining light that we are when we're first born into this world, right? And when we do that, all the what's in our world can become a manifestation of who we are. So how do you create impact? How do you create that collective impact? How do you create that connection? Align yourself with you and actually put the work in to make sure that you're dealing with the pains, not just ignoring them, but actually focusing on feeling so that we can heal and seeing ourselves as a complete being in every way possible.
Let's get micro, because I want to implement, and part of me thinks, oh, let's just go do an ayahuasca trip and discover ourselves that way.
Which sounds amazing, and plant-based medicine is a beautiful thing. So, yeah.
Tangibly, what did Brian do? Like, was there a moment where you're staring yourself in the mirror, or a moment where you can't sleep at night, insomnia? Like, what was that process of figuring out exactly who you are and getting rid of those what's? Like, yes. On a micro level, tell us a story.
So, that's a great question. And I love that you said on a micro level and tell us a story. You actually caused me to pause for a second because I was going to go micro level, but it wasn't going to be through a story. It was going to be through an approach. And so I'm happy I slowed down long enough to hear the full question, because I think the story is more powerful.
And that's why I ask Brian, because yeah. I'm all about approaches, and you're already making me realize that your story is going to be more powerful than any generalized approach for everyone.
Yeah. No, people thank
can,
you.
People can learn from that story. So I do want to hear it. Yeah.
So I will tell you that one of the biggest moments that put me on this path to reclaiming who I am, and I want to be really, really clear as well. I'm going to give a caveat before I answer this. I'm still in the process. There is no final destination. There is only constant evolution of self. So although I feel like I've gotten pretty damn close to the core of who I am, I'm still shedding layers in my own life. I've shed some as recently as last night. Okay. So I want to be really clear. Like, this is one of the most difficult journeys that any of us will ever make. It is hands down the most meaningful, though, because that's where we get rooted in joy, freedom, and fulfillment. A moment that changed my life to allow me to see that I was out of alignment with who I was I had a narrative that was very, very strong to the world that I was doing everything for the benefit of my family. That wasn't true. It wasn't true in any category except financial, in the way that I was living. Now, what I meant and what I intended behind those words is, I want my wife, I want my kids, I want them strong, I want them to have freedom, I don't want them to have to make choices, I want them to have the freedom to choose the lives they live, the freedom to do the things they want to do, the freedom to be who they want to be. We have our kid, our son's 7.5 years old, and 6 months in, I realized I was not the husband and father I always said I was going to be. I was still burning the candle at both ends. I hadn't readjusted my life, I hadn't realigned my focus, my awareness, my intention. And I missed the first 6 months of my son's life. I did. I was there for the first week. I missed the first 6 months of my kid's life. Oh, by the way, what I also missed, which I haven't really talked about a lot publicly, but it just feels right in the moment. I also missed how much my wife was hurting and how hard postpartum depression hit her. I was focused on providing for my family. I wasn't focused on caring for my family. It's a big difference. And so when I realized that I was out of alignment, the reason I said all these things is because I truly believe and desire connection at its fullest. That's what I want. That's what I've sought. That's what I've been chasing my whole life, is pure connection. Okay. But I still didn't have it. And what I also didn't want is, I didn't want to be that guy that said, oh, I'm going to do everything for the benefit of my family, and then wake up 25 years later and they're not there, because I hadn't actually cared for them and invested in them in a way that made them feel like they truly were the priority that I was externally vocalizing. So that was the time in my life that I realized that I did not have the people in my life. I didn't have the skill sets. I didn't have the intellect. I didn't have the knowledge or wisdom in my own world to be able to figure this out myself. So that was one of the first times I actually surrendered to asking for help. And I went out and I hired my first coach. And truly, like, that was the beginning of a very heavy lift over the course of the last decade that has gotten me very close to who I think I already was and who I am at the core. But I'm still not there yet. I'm still putting in the work.
Where do you get this from, Brian? I mean, you're the kind of guy that you're tremendously successful in the what aspect. You did it at a young age. Yeah, you have a loving family, a loving wife, and you're still looking to level up. And you're probably being harder on yourself then you have to be. You'd probably maybe even disagree with me. You're just being honest with yourself. But where does Brian learn this from? Like, is it through coaching or therapy or mentorship? Where does this mentality come from where even when people see Brian at the top, he realizes that he has so much farther to go? Like, where does that mentality come from?
Yeah, so I would tell you that, you know, if I'm being honest, there's probably elements of it that are rooted in my shame that I'm still unpacking, right? And so there's shame that dictated a lot of my actions, behaviors, mental, emotional, and spiritual states for so much of my life that I was blind to. So if I'm being really honest, shame is a piece that's keeping me there. And by the way, I think it's moved to a healthy place. It used to be toxic for me, right? The shame used to be toxic for me. But I think the pattern that was created has just forced me to be really honest with myself and to really challenge like perspective and to not label things as good or bad.
Mm.
So like the evolution down that path is like what has put me to where I am now. You know, Ryan Holiday, one of my favorite books and one of the favorite quotes from that book, which is The Obstacle is the Way, says there is no good or bad without us. There is the event that happens and there's the story we tell ourselves about it. When I started to recognize the power of our narratives, both intellectually and emotionally, and oh, by the way, how they can be accurate, how they can guide us, how they can direct us, but also how they can lie to us and hurt us, right? When I started to realize, like, it's not about being right or wrong. It's not about being good or bad. It's about trying to get it right versus being right. It's about trying to recognize that it's really about seeing situations for what they are and clearly versus what my body or emotional triggers or behavioral patterns have conditioned me to believe based on how I react in those moments. It's when I can see things clearly that I see myself most clearly. And that's when I'm most effective to perpetuate change. And so, like, what's in me? I will tell you there's also probably two other things that are outside of probably my own intuition and natural state that drive a lot of my actions and behaviors on a daily basis. I told you shame. I think that influences it. It shapes it. But things that I center myself in daily, told you about my accident. My guardian angel was there that day.
Right.
There was a nurse that walked out of the store and saw the actual accident take place. Wow. She saw the literal life and limb scenario in front of her. And I'm forever indebted to this woman for making the choice to lean into action versus going on with her day. She didn't make it about her. She made it about who I was. She made it about the 7-year-old boy that was laying on the pavement on a 115-degree day in August in Phoenix, Arizona. She made it about, I might have a chance to one, save his life. And if I act quickly, we may also be able to create the path to save his arm.
Right.
I either wouldn't be here today or I'd be here today with a cleaned up stump if it wasn't for that woman. And so what I try to center myself in most days is I also have the opportunity to turn into action versus going on with my day. And so when I look at how do I do that? I used to think it was all external, but the reality of it is the only way that I can manifest the change and the impact in the world that I want is if I start with me. Focusing on me is actually the least selfish thing I can do, but I'd convinced myself for so long that anytime I put myself first, that I was actually doing harm to others, right? We've all heard you can't pour out of an empty cup. You can't give what you don't have. But the reality of it is for so long, I would do harm to myself over actually anything else. To be able to help other people, I'd help other people and harm myself simultaneously. It doesn't have to be that way. So I center myself in her. And then the other people that I center myself in is when I felt sorry for myself in that hospital bed, which I remember at 7 years old, when I felt sorry for myself at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, as I'm having troubles in school, I'm having trouble connecting, I'm getting teased, like I've got something intellectually wrong with me because I've got a physical discrepancy. I constantly would feel sorry for myself. And then I would always center in all of the families that came up to us in the first 2 weeks we were in the hospital saying, we're so sorry for what happened to you. We're so, so, what can, so traumatic. This is so crazy. How do we help you? And because my accident is so unique, it got tons of attention and tons of attention in a way that, by the way, I don't view as positive.
Right.
And what I mean by that is like, yeah, mine is a unique scenario, but other than the immediate threat to my life and not knowing whether or not I'd use my arm, I knew I was going to be here. All those families that came to support us also had kids with terminal illnesses, not knowing if they're going to live another 30 days in the ICU bed next to me. arm isn't that important at that point. And over the course of the following decade, when I was in the hospital, focusing with other kids who'd been in traumatic situations or who had terminal illnesses, focusing on how do we bring perspective, motivation, direction? How do we raise funds? How do we help organizations? How do we help people tell their stories in a way that's meaningful? I lost a lot of them over that next decade. And every single time one of them lost their battle, I felt like it was partially my responsibility to absorb their strength and put that back into the world. And so I feel as much drawn to the work I do and the fact that this is my purpose and my mission and my existence on this planet as I do. I feel like that's one of my ways I get to honor all of their legacies.
Mm.
Because if I wasn't here doing it, I can think of two or three who would be doing it in my place if they had the choice. And so, that's what it's about, man. I know what it's like to feel miserable and stuck and isolated and alone. And I know what it's like to feel joy, free and fulfilled and feel true connection. No one deserves to feel this way. Everyone deserves to feel over here. And that's all I'm trying to do is make sure that everybody has that opportunity.
It's powerful, Brian. I mean, you're speaking to me because most of my listeners know my story. I grew up really small, like shortest kid in the class, all up until like seventh grade. Played basketball, was incredible, and then started getting my ass beat because everybody was so much bigger than me.
Yeah.
Didn't open my mouth until I was 12. And sometimes I feel like I know the answers in my head and I know the solution and I know where to go, but I can't get the words out because I always have this internal dialogue asking me, is this the right thing to do? It goes back to when I was a kid. It doesn't matter. I'm a 30-year-old man. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 10, 30, 50. Do you find a lot of people walk around with this kind of shame or just this hesitation to be themselves? And
yeah,
I'm sure they do. Sense. And the follow-up question is going to be like, where does someone start? Where do I start to getting rid of this, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of people experience this. I think a lot of people are literally told that who they are is not good enough for the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that starts again from the time that we're born. Now, one thing that you said, and I want to address before we go down that path,
please,
is you talk about the resistance and negativity that you experience when you lack the feeling of permission or the words to articulate what you're thinking or feeling based on how the world has told you to operate. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, pretty much. The words can't come out. I'm stuttering right now, right?
You're stuttering, right? Because we're stuck, right?
And so, but I know the words, Brian. I could take the pen to the paper and I can write them out 20 times the speed.
I know. And so here's the thing. I want to hit that because we talk about reducing suffering, right? We talk about the impact in the world. And at the end of the day, I believe that the root of all suffering is not all, I'm going to say the majority. Because there's different definitions of suffering. But I think the majority of our internal suffering comes in four areas. The things that are left unsaid. The things we lack the permission to feel or say. The things we lack the words to articulate. Or the things that are left undone. How many times have we wanted to say something? Your point. We know it. We're clear. This is what it is. But we can't. Because for whatever reason, we get a block. And it just doesn't flow out. It's because we have created all these little trigger points in our world to protect ourselves because we're so used to having whatever we say get judged, criticized, and told it's not good enough. So we start to actually withhold what we say because that's just the case, okay? Now, what do we desire as humans? I believe the human experience is, again, rooted in four things, okay? We all desire and seek to feel safe. We all desire to seek and feel protected, and those are not the same thing. We all desire to seek and feel being seen and understood. And we all desire and seek the feeling of connection. By the way, that last one is the one that drives us the most, but it doesn't happen unless the first three do.
Mm.
Okay. So what happens, right? We're born the most bright, burning, authentic light we're ever going to be. Truly. Anybody who's got kids knows this. I mean, my kids still at 7.5 and 6.5, even though they're through that first part of developmental age, they're still just raw. Right? They say stuff and half the time you're like, where the hell did you hear that? And the other half the time you're like, wow, like what just happened? Right? Like the rawness is just there. And my daughter, right? She's a redhead, blue-eyed little unicorn. This girl lights up every room she walks into.
Mm-hmm.
One of our biggest goals is not dim that light. Because what happens is when we're born that way, parents, teachers, employers, coaches, start telling us all the shoulds. You should do this. You shouldn't do that. You should be this. You shouldn't be that. You should chase this. You shouldn't chase that. You should have this amount of money. You shouldn't have that amount of money. You should chase this car. You shouldn't have that car. You should have this amount of success. You shouldn't have that amount of success. This kind of house, not that one. The narrative's all the way, right? From the time we're born, that's all we hear is should. And should in and of itself is a shame-based word because it implies that whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking, whoever you are is not good enough.
Not good enough, yeah.
Right? And so what happens? We start funneling ourselves down this path until we're all of a sudden an empty shell of who we once were. And then we wake up one day and we're like, right? And that's when we become a victim. And we start to say that we're a victim and we have no influence or control over our destinies because we bought into the narratives of what the world has told us. Here's the reality. I just told you what the human experience is rooted in. When we hear should, it's a shame-based word. What does it cause us to do? It causes us to protect ourselves because we desire to feel safe. So that armor goes up. Guess what? That armor is preventing what we actually want, which is connection to be seen and understood. So we've protected ourselves. We are safe, but we are not actually getting the two things we desire the most, which is to be seen and understood and to connect. Right? So it prevents everything we desire when we follow that path. When instead, if we can put ourselves into a position where we can just trust that we're safe and we can put ourselves in a position to be in environments that we are protected, then we're seen and understood and we're connected. And the depth of those relationships goes to a whole nother level. And by the way, that starts internally first, right? So you've got to have the depth of the relationship with yourself. Can you actually be vulnerable and authentic with yourself? Can you love yourself? Can you surrender to yourself? Can you forgive yourself? If you can't do it for you, you're going to struggle doing it for other people.
Brian,
that's what it's rooted in, brother.
I was just going to ask you, what environments do you feel safe and protected? Like, what are the environments where you feel the most safe and protective? And are there environments that you still struggle with? People you still struggle with?
Absolutely.
Situations that are still tough, you know?
Absolutely. I'm going to go as far to say, I will tell you very clearly that the safest and most protected, seen and understood and connected I feel is when I'm with my bride and my kids. Mm. When I'm in the right place. If I don't enter into those situations with the right energy, I prevent everything I want. Okay. So it's again about how do I show up in those spaces? But I would say in general, like where I feel most protected and most safe, most seen and understood and most connected is when I'm in environments where people want something for me, not from me. I'm in an environment that there's a lot of things that people want from me. Many of us are. How many of us are like, oh, I'm the one who carries all the weight. I'm the one who does all this. I'm the leader in every scenario I go into. How many leaders, entrepreneurs, business people, and just people, I don't care what level we are in terms of business. Like how many of us feel like we're carrying weight for other people, right? We often feel like we're tapped, our resources are tapped because so many people want something from us. How often do we experience somebody wants something for us? And so when I'm in those environments and I know that I'm in those places where like I can truly trust and surrender to that, that's when I'm best. Now, that's often done through relationships. That's often done through trust. That's often done through environments that we can create. But I'll tell you, one of the greatest places, like I'm not comfortable. I am not a fan of networking, right? Like I hate going to big networking events. I hate like, there's this thing with a nonprofit and a good group of buddies that I've been a part of that 8 or 9 of us have traveled and gone to these things in a small group of just men. And it turned into something that was what's called the boondoggle now, right? And it's 30 couples, 60 people. Right. And what I've realized is I don't feel safe in environments that lack depth.
Hmm.
If I can't go deep, I don't feel safe. I don't want to operate at the surface level. I don't want to have connections at the surface level. I don't want to talk about BS that doesn't really matter or move the needle. I want to talk about stuff that matters, people that matter, feelings that matter. And so like, I didn't go to this boondoggle and they said, are you going to go to the next one? I was like, nope, but I'll go on a trip with 8 of you, just the guys. Because I can operate in that environment and actually add value and have depth. But if I'm one of 60 people, then it's really just my wife and I, we might as well go away for a weekend because neither one of us are actually in that environment. What I've realized is I used to think I was an extrovert. I think I'm an extroverted introvert. I get energy from other people, but they can also drain me if I'm not in the right environment. Mm. And so I have to be vicious and aware to protect those spaces so that I have the reserves to be able to pour into people I desire to.
You're speaking to me, Brian, because I'm the same way when it comes to networking events. Lots of people, lots of business cards, lots of I do this and this, and I'm looking for this. Do you have any referrals for this? My head just wants to explode. And I don't know. I turn to a cocktail just to relax and chill because I want to sit down and have an actual conversation. Now, Brian, you want to affect a billion lives.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to do that one at a time, but people need to hear this at a large scale. So how are you going to do it? I'm asking selfishly in the fact that I want to maybe join your mentorship group or I want to get on your email list. And I know you told me beforehand you're not here to pitch. You're not pitching anybody. I want to sign up. So tell me how I sign up and how ultimately people can stay in touch with this message, because it's going to take a lot to affect a billion lives, but I know you can do it. So
it is absolutely. And I want to be really clear. When I say we're on a mission to impact a billion lives, the emphasis is on we're. This isn't an I initiative. Yes, this is a part of my vision, but it will not be fulfilled by myself. I have zero desire to do this by myself, and I actually have zero desire to be the one to get the credit for it. I just recognize that in this moment, in the trajectory, there's moments of I have to be the face to get the momentum going. But hopefully the systems and processes that we're building in multiple different entities are actually going to make myself less and less important in the scheme of things.
Real quick,
it's going to happen collectively.
Define we're. Is this your team member? Shout them out. Who do you mean by we're?
Yeah, so I would say we're. It's definitely our team. So I would say anybody that's a part of our I Am No Limits crew. You know, we've got this idea of no limits living. It's this no limits philosophy. All everything we do gets back to the fact that like we are only limited based on the limits we place on ourselves and the place and the limits the world places on us. And we all have the ability to live limitless. Right now, what does that mean? How do we manifest that? So the team is truly folks that we are surrounded with, and not always paid people on our team. It can be teammates like family members that have supported the mission. It can be friends who've done it, but it's also partners. It's other thought leaders. It's other people who are influencing change and are really trying to create a more common narrative in the world around the things that we aren't talking about, which is a lot of this, right? So when I say we, it's all of us. It's you. It's everybody listening. We are on an impact because I think that so many of us recognize that we're not living the lives that we want. And part of it's because the world's not allowing us to. So how do we go through the path of creating a new opportunity for our kids and our grandkids? So when I talk about a billion lives, it's not lost on me how complicated that's going to be. There's 330 million people in the United States alone. So I'm only 30% of the way there if I impact every single human being in the United States. If we impact every single human being in the United States, we're still only 30% of the way there. So trust me when I say, like, I've thought through this, right? We also have 7.2 billion people on the planet. 2.4 billion have access to modern day technology. So what I looked at is, okay, how do we create perpetual change that can be sustained for generations to come? We have to have a significant enough impact and enough momentum and enough thoughts, minds, souls pulling in the same direction for us to have any chance for this to be sustainable. So 7.2 billion people, 1 billion. I feel like that's a pretty good chunk, 15, 18, 20% in that arena. We can be pretty good. But of the people with access to modern day technology, we're talking over 40%, less than 50, but over 40. We're somewhere in that arena where, again, we now have the opportunity to perpetuate change. The other thing I recognize is every single movement that's ever been created, the largest ones in history, BLM was one of them, topped out at 100 million people. There's this magical ceiling of 100 million people that seems to surround every single major movement that's existed in our history. Well, we also have an opportunity that we've never had before, right now, that I'm trying to leverage and lean into. We've talked about this being a true global economy, right? That we can interact with people from across the globe, that we want to understand these things. It didn't exist until COVID. People were still getting on planes, still having conversations to go meet with people in Australia, England, Singapore, Thailand. It doesn't matter what country, right? We're traveling to get meaningful meetings because we know over the phone, it's not going to work. And we hadn't embraced video technology yet.
Right.
Right. For the first time in history, the level playing field existed because the highest of high paid CEOs and the lowest of low paid people were subjected to Zoom. But it also eliminated the friction and resistance to getting to anybody on the planet because we're so used to this now. So we can have higher volume of connection points. We can have broader reach. We can have greater impact if we understand how do we distribute the messages and connect with people through modern day technology. We have an opportunity right now that we've never had to reach more people in a systematic, structured, organized way than ever in the history of the world. I'm trying to capitalize on that. Because if we also recognize the awakening that's been taking place in the world over the last 18 months, as we've all been subjected to our realities being stolen from us, having been knocked out of autopilot and for the first time in a decade, actually reevaluated. Holy shit. I'm not living the life I want to live. I'm living the life I fell into the pattern of. Many people are for the first time taking a step back and realizing that this is the time to reclaim them. So I want to invite everybody listening, right? Let's close out the era of what, and let's usher in the era of who. Let's start focusing on people before profits, who before what. And if we do this collectively, a billion lives is going to happen faster than we know.
Thank you, Brian. I want to go rapid fire.
Let's go.
Rapid fire round, it's like Family Feud mixed with Whose Boom. Line Is It Anyway?
Quick answers, I got you.
But the points are completely subjective. Fill in the blanks, say whatever you want, it's all up to you. Coffee or tea?
Oh.
I'm
more towards tea at this point in my life.
Okay. Why do you say towards this point of my life? Were you used to be a coffee guy? And now?
Yeah, I was a big time coffee drinker. There was a period of my life that I was actually self-medicating with caffeine and was drinking between 900 and 1200 milligrams a day. And the acidity with coffee is something that doesn't align with my body. So although I love it, like I love coffee, I'm committing to my future state of recognizing that tea is actually in better alignment with who I am and what my body needs than coffee. So that's why I'm leaning there.
Let me ask you, are you this energetic in the morning or do you need a cup of coffee? Is this Brian always ready to go, like ready to rock and roll?
Well, I'll tell you what, my wife is sitting in the room right now. So how about we let her ask that question? She can probably speak from the background. Dear, how would you answer that question?
He has a much higher baseline than most people, but he brings the fire when he knows he needs to.
There you go. So I know how to channel my energy so I can focus it where it needs to be.
Yeah, you're introverted extrovert. Or we're all on the spectrum, right? Do you believe that people are just introverts or extroverts?
No. It's also why I don't believe that people are masculine or feminine. We all carry a little bit of everything.
Yes.
Again, let's stop polarizing, politicizing and saying man versus woman. No, like we all have a little bit of everything. Let's lean into understanding our feminine components, our masculine components, and break down the external constructs that have told us what those things should mean in our world. Let's stop using the word should, first and foremost.
Thank you for that. Favorite animal, Brian?
Oh, sea turtle. No question.
Sea turtle. Favorite season?
Spring.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
I'm going to have to say, and I'm going to forget the exact name, but it is Ben and Jerry's. And it's their hybrid one. And it'll come to me in a minute, but it is so good. And I haven't had it in a while, which is why I'm forgetting the name. But it's hands down my favorite. It's a Ben and Jerry's flavor. If I remember before the end of the call, I'll tell you.
I'm from the Northeast, so anything Ben and Jerry's, I've had probably one of each. I've tried them all. Yeah. To close out, give us three action steps, whether it's reading a book, listening to a podcast, viewing a video course, anything like that. Where do you get some of this education and knowledge from, and where would you direct a listener to learn some of the things that you've learned in the past?
Yeah. I would say that, you know, what I realized recently is that our greatest lessons are our own lives and our own stories. And so a lot of these things that I'm talking about, right? That's why I always say right? In the way that I view it, right? Human experience, suffering, like these are my perceptions of the way I've experienced the world, supported by external validation from, you know, modern day Stoics and, you know, his philosophy and those types of different things. I've studied human behavior quite a bit. Both through actual application and practice, but actually study in terms of education, books that I've read, people that I've consumed. I think Brené Brown is a solid start for anybody that's wanting to understand shame, wanting to understand vulnerability, wanting to understand authentic leadership. You know, she's got a bunch of gems in there. She's the one that helped me understand the dynamic of shame and the two different talk tracks. She's also one of those that has made it very easy because she says clear is kind, unclear is unkind. I love Ryan Holiday because he's all about the perspective, right? He's a modern day Stoic. He's somebody that really challenges like that. It's about the narratives that we create, not what's actually happening. And so we need to really center ourselves in that. And then again, my philosophy is embrace pain to avoid suffering. And he's got a book called Obstacle is the Way. We're pretty aligned. You know, and then I've got a lot of friends and mentors. I read a lot. I have not actively read a lot in the last 6 months. But I'd tell you over the combined last 7 years, I've probably averaged I've maybe read 400 books in the last 7 to 10 years. Again, not as a bragging point, but I just learned that the only difference between who I am today and who I'll be 5 years from now is in the people that I meet and the books that I read. That's not my original quote. That's one that actually put me on the path to reading. And so I would say that I just try to recognize that all of the lessons I need are actually in my own life. And the more I surrender to that, and the more I realize that it's about me taking the time to extract those lessons and be intentional to apply them, the more I realize I don't need to look outside for the answers. And so I would say for everybody, right, there's some good reading. I just throw you. I mean, I gave you a couple of different authors that are really centered in some similar philosophies. But I would say if they were going to get really, really tactical, let's just do one thing. Create two lists. Everybody. If all you do is create two lists, it will calibrate you more to who you are. On the first list, I want you to put all the people, sources of information, environments, and things that you interact with or consume on a regular basis that are additive to your life, that give you energy, that infuse you with life, that you can spend 8 hours and it feels like one because you're in flow state, that you feel worthy, you feel fulfilled, and you feel like you've got the energy to run through brick walls. We all know what that feels like. Every one of us has been there. Every one of us knows what that energy is like, right? Look at the other side. The other list is all the things, same things, people, sources of information, environments, things that we consume or we're around that make us feel depleted, that make us feel deficient, that make us feel unworthy, that make us feel de-energized, that 1 hour feels like eight because it's out of alignment from who we are, right? How often in our lives do we experience this regularly and consistently, but we don't ever address it?
Yes.
We don't ever pay attention to what this is, right? Pain points us at what's important if we're listening. If you're experiencing all these discomfort and toxic feelings, there's probably something in your life that's out of alignment. So if all you did was create those two lists to have a higher level of awareness, and you became intentional with eliminating as many from this list as possible and spending more time over here, that in and of itself will put you more in alignment with who you are and give you more permission to vocalize who you are and give you a greater ability to be seen, understood, and connected.
Brian, thanks again, brother. How do people get in touch with you? Should they connect on social media? Should they email you? Website? What's the one best spot? Or name a few.
Yeah. So I think the one best spot that gives us an overview of everything that we're doing right now, because we've got four entities all rooted in the who that hit a different component.
Yes.
Go to IamNoLimits.com. It's literally that simple. IamNoLimits.com. It'll give you an understanding of Combo Kong, Pod Kong, what we're doing with No Limits You, what we're doing with Who Stories, and how these things interact. And they also give you an opportunity to engage. Social handles are on there. So if you go there, that's a great landing page. Now I will say that those are the entities that we focus on. If you're focused more in speaking, coaching, different things, you can follow me on @BogertBrian. You can go to brianbogert.com. I will point out on I Am No Limits, we do have a free course. There's plenty of value and content that gets in there. And so I want to be very, very clear. We are in beta mode on the launch of our new platform to make sure that the customer experience is in line with what it is. But so many people who've gone to nolimitsprelude.com in the past got a simple download. We're in the process of rebuilding that landing page as we speak, because we believe that we can give people more content to elevate and empower them than we did with a simple PDF download. We can give them interactive content. We can give them access to the first portions of our course, the first chapter of our course, the intro, the foundation. And if all you did was consume that and you never engaged with us beyond that, I will be pleased, because that will mean that you're getting tools to go perpetuate this change in the world. So that's the only ask I have for anybody. If something you see moves you, if something you see resonates with you, if something you see connects with you, because we create a ton of free content just to elevate and empower people. If something moves you, share it. Like, comment, and share. And by the way, I don't care about the vanity metrics. I don't give two shits. If you see something, grab your phone and turn it to the person sitting next to you. Watch this for 5 minutes. Let them absorb the thought. I don't care about the external metrics. What I care about is that these are continuing down this path, and I need all the help I can get. So please help me collectively impact a billion lives.
Yeah, listen, guys, send a personal DM to a friend. In that DM, tell them exactly what your number one takeaway from this podcast was. One last question, Brian. I know you've done a lot of podcasts, so you've been asked a lot of questions. Is there a question that no one has ever asked you? And furthermore, is there a question that let's say your wife were to have a podcast, is there a question that she would ask you, and then all these other people that have interviewed had no clue to ask, but anything personal that maybe your wife would ask you that no one's ever asked you? And then obviously, I'm going to want to know the answer as well. So
I think if my wife had a podcast, I I think the question that she would ask me is how is it possible that you are so dense that it took you 14 years of living with me to realize that you had control and anger issues that you just started unpacking in this last year? Mm-hmm. She's going to probably be in a position to say, hey, you are so aware, you're so intentional, you do all these things, yet you are so blind in your own world sometimes. And I think she would ask me, how do you balance between perpetuating a message and knowing when you're not out of alignment yourself, and how do you close that gap? Because most days I wake up feeling like a fraud. Most days I wake up feeling like I have not gotten anywhere close to where we want. And so I think my wife would be like, how do you close that gap? How do you raise the level of awareness while maintaining authenticity so that you don't come across as a fraud and you are actually actively living in all the ways you speak? But really what it would be rooted into is, how the hell did you miss this for 14 years when I've been telling you for 14 years that this was happening? And why didn't you listen to me sooner? And then I would just tell her, I'm sorry. I was just blind and I was in my own way. And thank you for finally helping me see it.
I'm going to say that would probably be the shortest answer ever. Just, I'm sorry, honey, you're right.
It's literally, it's like, I'm an idiot. I wish I could tell you why. I don't know. I wish I could have changed it, but we're here now. So where do we go? So,
Brian, it's been a pleasure, man. I'm on the mission with you, Affect a Billion Lives. And thank you for coming on the show. It's been incredible.
Hey, you know what? Thank you for creating a platform for me to pour good into the world, because I wouldn't be here without you. So that's not lost on me. And Ben, thank you for the invite. Thank you for pouring your soul in. And thank you for your great questions, because you actually did take me in a path that many of the other podcasts have not. And I'm always excited when I can go down a new thought process to help people.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.